So the title of my talk is Multiscale Characterization of Vadozone Macroporosity in Tile Drained Soil. Now, macropores up in our region of the world are very important from a recharge perspective. And in the wettest period of the year, typically in the fall and winter, researchers before us have hypothesized that these macropores can transmit up to 50% of the recharge, or in some cases even more. And in saturated soil conditions, it's very, very easy that these macropore networks can transmit upwards of 75 to 90% of the total water flux. So now, this work is actually a continuation of the work that Dave just presented, and it's conducted at the same field site. And now we're going to look a little bit more into the soil properties at that site that led to the results that we observed in the tracer experiment. So a brief outline, I'll state our objective, introduce our hypothesis, a little bit more detail on the soils at the site. I'll state our methodology that we apply to investigate the soil properties and give some results and then our conclusions. So the objective of the work is to characterize macroporosity and soil hydraulic properties to determine macroporosity spatial variability with respect to tile drain depth and tile drain location. We wanted to see if the tile drainage networks had any influence on the field saturated hydraulic conductivity as observed on the surface. And we wanted to investigate whether there's any correlation between macroporosity and hydraulic conductivity as observed on the field surface and in the B horizon. So a conceptual model, we're back to the picture that Dave presented, but now we're going to look a little bit more at the soil properties here. We hypothesized that as you move closer to the tile drain, the macropore networks would become denser because the water table is more closely controlled by the position of this tile drain, whereas further away, there's more water table fluctuation, in which case we hypothesize it's a less conducive environment for organisms like worms to live and therefore make burrows. And we also propose that closer to the tile drain, the hydraulic conductivity observed on surface is going to be higher because we know that many of these macropores are actually direct hydraulic conduits that serve to transmit water from the base of their A horizon into the tile drains. So we're back to the same field site that Dave had previously mentioned. Site 1 down here is where the tracer test was conducted. We investigated soil properties there, but also at two other sites in the field. Now this is it's actually kind of a unique field because the soils at the north end are mapped as luvisols that are underlain by calcareous silt loam deposits, where down at the bottom end of the field, the soils are mapped as glaceols that are underlain by clay till. So we'll have a look at some pictures of the soil profile here now. This is what the soil cross-section at plot 1 looks like. It's a silt loam, silt sandy loam A horizon, underlain by some clay loam, moderately structured. Now up at plot 2, where we have the luvisols, we have silt loam A horizon again, but here the B horizon is much less structured. And then at plot 3 in the transitional zone, we have the silt loam A horizon with a little bit of the material very similar to what we observed up at plot 2, that calcareous silt loam B horizon, which is underlain at depth of about 50 to 60 centimeters by some very coarse sands and gravels. So at these three sites in this field, we went out and investigated the soil properties and macroporosity. So now I'll talk a little bit about the methodology we applied. So we started at each one of these plots, we investigated the soil properties at 12 different sites, and we started with performing a tension infiltration test at soil pressure heads that ranged from minus 20 centimeters to 0 centimeters. And at the same spot, we followed the tension infiltrometer test with a double ring infiltration test centered on the same position. And now here, the glass beads, the contact sand for the TI disc is still in place, but we waited until this contact sand dried enough so it could be removed with a vacuum cleaner without any significant disturbance of the near surface soil structure. So we performed the double ring infiltration test, and then following that, we applied 20 liters of blue dye to a 50 centimeter by 50 centimeter square plot, which amounts to about 8 to 10 centimeters of water. So we performed this sequence of events on a grid with our 12 test sites that was oriented parallel to the tile drain with three rows located at different distances from the tile, with row three being approximately 3.5 meters from the tile. So now, after we infiltrated with our dye, we excavated around the dye infiltration plots. It was quite a bit of digging. I actually enjoy running backhoes, so this was a real treat to do this. So I didn't mind initially to do three plots. And then following the excavation, we set out to dig down by hand on horizontal soil surfaces from at a depth of 2 centimeters to tile elevation to determine the macropore characteristics on each one of these horizontal surfaces. So here we are scraping away to prepare surfaces for macropore counting that ultimately look something like this. So here's a prepared surface. It's 50 centimeters by 50 centimeters. And we characterize the macroporosity on each one of these surfaces according to its size class. We had four circular cylindrical size categories. And then also we tried to measure the fracture length on each one of these surfaces. And from these measurements, we made estimates of macroporosity and macroporosity attributable to each one of these different size classes. And we've got hundreds of these photos. We haven't really scratched the surface yet as to what can be done with them in terms of image analysis and whatnot. So these are fodder for anyone interested in image analysis. And now we'll look a little bit at the results. So here we are at plot one. The total macroporosity is what we're looking at in this plot. Here we reported as macropore area fraction, which is really just the ratio of macropores to total soil area. If you think of macroporosity in terms of percentages, just multiply these numbers by 100. We can see that the maximum value at plot 1 is near surface. It drops a little bit at the base of the horizon, and then there's a little bit of a local maximum here at the top of the B horizon, and then it drops off very quickly to tile drain depth. So at tile drain depth in this soil, there's very little macroporosity. Now we'll look at plot 2, which is the soil with much less structure, and we see a similar sort of trend, but the magnitude is increased in comparison to plot 1. Now we see increased macroporosity, but generally the same trend. There's here a local maximum at surface, and then the maximum is observed at the top of the B horizon. And then by tile drain depth, again, very, very low values of macroporosity. And now here we go to plot 3, and this is kind of interesting. At plot 3, macroporosity values are much higher than at plot 1 and plot 2, but macroporosity ends at this textural discontinuity. So we see these cylindrical macropore features running from the surface and from the base of the A horizon to the discontinuity, and then they end. But what's happening here is that these macropores are hydraulic conduits that are just funneling the water from surface down into a very permeable B horizon, lower B horizon. And this stuff is incredibly conductive. So now we'll look at the results of the three plots. The trends are roughly the same, but the magnitude of macroporosity between the three different soil types at this field, all three of these plots are managed under the same land management practices and subject to the same climate, the macroporosity is statistically significantly different between the three plots in most of the comparison tests that we performed. And these plots are only about 100 meters apart. So now we'll look at the influence of tile drains on the infiltration rates observed at the surface with our double ring infiltrometer. So here we have the plot 1, row 1 infiltration results, where we see that the field saturated K is about 115 centimeters per day, whereas in row 3, away from the tile drain, the field saturated K is about 75 centimeters per day. So here the tendency is that the infiltration rates are higher above the tile drain. And at the point when we excavated, it was very interesting, because although these tile drains had been installed 25 years ago, at plot 1 and plot 3, we still see evidence of the tile installation process. So we have this scar region, which is kind of a real mishmash of soil material, but it was actively funneling the solute and the dye from the surface down into the tile drain at plots 1 and plot 3. Now at plot 2, or the natural soil is much less structured, there's no evidence of a tile installation scar. And we still see, though, that the field-saturated K is higher above the tile drain. So in row 1, the field-saturated K is about 40 centimeters per day, whereas about 3.5 meters away from the tile, we have a field-saturated K of about 15 centimeters per day. So again, infiltration rates higher above the tile drain. Now we go to plot 3. The opposite is true here. Above the tile drain, although the field-saturated K is still high in relation to the other two plots, it's about half the value that we observed 3.5 meters away from the tile drain. So now this disturbance of the natural soil structure that occurred when the tile drainage network was installed, we propose it actually reduces the field-saturated infiltration rates, whereas away from the tile, where the natural structure is intact, and these cylindrical macropores, which are some of them the size of your finger, they're active conduits, and they're just rapidly funneling water from surface down into this really porous stuff that can just take as much water as can be dumped on the surface. When we were running the double ring infiltration test, we could barely keep the rings full of water. This soil was just sucking it up, and we were wondering, where is it going? And it wasn't until we started digging holes that we realized, oh, that makes perfect sense now. So now, finally, we'll look at correlation between macropore area fraction observed at four different depth averaged intervals at the near the top of the A horizon, the base of the A horizon, top of the B horizon, and mid-B horizon. So this is linear correlation between the macropore area fraction and field-saturated hydraulic conductivity as measured with the double ring infiltrometer. And we see that the strongest correlations exist between the macroporosity observed near the base of the A horizon and also deeper into the B horizon, around midway, about a depth of between 40 and 60 centimeters. We have relatively strong linear correlations here. And now we'll look at the linear correlation between the macropore area fraction at the same four depth averaged intervals and the hydraulic conductivity of the B horizon as measured with soil cores, 10 centimeter diameter soil cores that were evaluated in the lab. And here we see that there's a relatively strong correlation all the way from the top of the A horizon down to the mid-B horizon and the permeability of this B horizon material. But again, as was observed between the correlations made with the double ring infiltrometer and the macropore area fraction, the strongest correlations exist for macroporosity at the base of the A horizon and midway through the B horizon. So in conclusion now, we can state, based on the results at this field that we evaluated in southern Ontario, the tile drains do not really significantly influence the macroporosity distribution, but they do tend to influence the field-saturated hydraulic conductivity as observed on surface, but not necessarily in a consistent manner. So we can't always expect that the tile drains will increase the permeability observed at the surface. We can also state from our results that macroporosity tends to vary significantly between the different soils under the same management at this site. And the hydraulic conductivity of the surface and B horizon soils tend to be strongly correlated to the subsurface macroporosity. So finally, the acknowledgments and references. The field team here, these guys did a lot of digging and scraping. It was pretty tough work. And our funding sources, the Ontario Pork Organization, the Ontario Ministry of the Environment, and NSERC, the Natural Sciences and Engineering Research Council, and finally, again, the farm owners who let us on the land. And for a bit more information on this stuff, there's a couple of publications that can be referenced. Thank you.
We have time for maybe one question.
I think there's a point in these soil profiles where the water table's oscillating. And at a certain point, the water table doesn't get above a certain level, and that's kind of a happy zone for worms. And I'm by no means a worm expert,